J.W.'s dirty white Caprice made its way north and west into a purple-orange sunset. He had left the interstate just before Duluth and taken a four-lane divided artery that angled off into the North Country. After an hour, it lost its median and came together, squeezing its way into a small town and finally ending at a flashing red light. J.W. turned onto a narrow two-lane capillary that shot out past a Cenex station and a Dairy Queen, three people in line at the small yellow window, a handful of kids romping on a red picnic table, a girl crying over a dropped cone on the sidewalk, long light in her blonde curls. And then he was out into the rolling farm fields and sudden bluffs of Minnesota's Iron Range. The region's iron and taconite mines had sprouted dozens of little towns full of Finns, Croats, Cornish, and Italians, all of them stout, resilient people who could cheerfully survive decades stooping in tunnels, moiling with pickaxes, so long as they had beers and pasties and the love of friends and good women. An hour ahead, in one of those range towns, with its little Victorian houses covered in asbestos shakes, his wife Carol and their 13-year-old daughter Julie were waiting for him. The air grew dusty and dry now, despite the cooling. The purple-orange sky had faded to sapphire, and billboard lights flickered on. He was nearing the Big Prairie, where the rolling hills and dales of the glacial moraine began to flatten and stretch their legs westward for their run through the Dakotas. Here the billboards were smaller, made by locals from plywood on 6x6 posts. They hunkered close to the road, lit from below by fluorescent tubes that attracted fleets of dive-bombing insects. Spiders cast their nets into the night seas and sailed out in bands of silk. He passed a sign for the Many Lakes Casino: work hard, play hard, win big. He was nearing home. As J.W. drove, he watched closely for the roadside spot where it had happened. It was easy to miss, in spite of the fact that it held such life-changing prominence. Sometimes he had to turn around and go hunting for it, peering across the pavement as he drove, searching for the small white cross. But this time he saw it early, backlit by the low-angled sun, and he pulled over and got out. He walked around the car, took the bouquet out of the passenger door, and carried it over to the marker, which bore a single word: Chris. An older bundle of flowers was faded by the sun and covered with a patina of dust kicked up by a month of car traffic. He squatted and untwisted the wire that he used to hold them in place, then fastened the new bouquet and arranged it as fully and attractively as possible, fluffing the individual petals to broaden the flower heads. "Good night, son," he said. He stood and carried the old bouquet to the car, throwing it into the passenger footwell where it couldn't sully the upholstery. The dusky rolling hills ran out behind him under darkening skies, and the wind filled his ears as he drove on. Ahead, the road climbed back out of the valley, and the dark planes of a building began to materialize from the shadows on the right. The fading light conjured parts of cars, and then 14 massive searchlights shot up into the sky, their beams crossing to form a giant teepee of white light. Banks of neon splashed out, the colors bouncing over the roofs and glass parts of the cars like thrown watercolors. "Many Lakes Casino," the roadside monument said. "Win big." He passed the turnoff, the neon glow lighting his windshield and turning the backs of his hands red on the wheel. He thought of Chris's accident and the sudden shock of it, a ripping away when he hadn't been looking. The red fell from his hands like fading fingers as he climbed the hill, a new vista opening, and his thoughts returned to the dinner Carol had waiting, where he hoped to save his marriage and his relationship with Julie, his remaining child. Chris's death had sent him into a tailspin, futility crashing over him in swamping waves, spinning him in the undertow. Problems had cropped up in their marriage, cracks and fissures that grew into crevasses and canyons, over money, over his gambling. Carol always seemed angry, and Julie had stopped talking to him. But Carol had agreed to see him, and his heart sped a little now that the moment was imminent. He adjusted his visor against the low blast of sun. He was going to find a way, starting tonight, to turn things around. A way to come together and move forward again. Not as if nothing had happened, but acknowledging that it had. And then finding the forgiveness and the strength and the love to heal together. He didn't really know what he was going to say, but he was determined to make it happen. His Caprice shot on into the sunset, becoming small and bright as a satellite. But even then he could feel gravity taking hold. The waves of the casino accreted weight and moment. The car reached a sort of apogee, and then he pulled over and turned around.